relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome, dear friends, to America First One-on-One, our opportunity to get to know our friends, our experts, a little bit better, and time to discuss the big issues of the day in a fashion that they deserve. Today, I am so delighted because it's an opportunity to showcase a great American, a patriot, a friend of mine who does his amazing work out of the limelight, in the shadows, but given the recent events in Afghanistan, it's important, all the more important, to talk about what this man does and the broader mission that all of us face in this Judeo-Christian civilization. Former Air Force officer Rudy Atala, now CEO of White Mountain Research. Rudy, welcome to America First One-on-One.
Thank you so much, Seb, for having me on. I'm so honored.
So I got to know you. Let's go back through the mists of time, how it was originally that we met. Was it through our mutual friend, Jeff Cousins, the national security analyst? I can't even recall. It was so long ago.
I know. I think it's been about 17 years since we've known each other. I was still in uniform at the Pentagon before I retired, I think. We got to know each other, and then over the years, we lectured on in various, we've been on various circuits together, and we've been close friends ever since.
I want to talk about who you are so our millions of listeners can get to know about your background. But when we met, just share with our viewers what you were doing in the Pentagon, what your AOR was and what your mission was.
Sure. I had moved from West Africa, where I was doing some work for the Defense Intelligence Agency as a defense attaché. I moved to the Pentagon, and I was I worked for Rumsfeld and Gates, both Secretaries of Defense, as the Africa Counterterrorism Director. My focus was primarily on the CT mission in Africa. That expanded over time when we started having issues with Somali pirates off the coast of Somalia. And it culminated with my doing the Maersk, Alabama hostage rescue before I retired in 2009.
So you can tell us the truth about that story, which turned into a Hollywood movie. Just a small job, just counterterrorism director for the African continent. We'll talk about that amazing work and the briefing you did for me, for my company in Fort Bragg, which was just absolutely stunning. But let's talk about, just for a minute, how you got to where you arrived at that point, running counterterrorism in the Pentagon for Africa. What is your career trajectory? And where does your family originally hail from, Rudy?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Beirut, Lebanon. My mother's American. My father's Lebanese. I come from a very old Christian family, one of the oldest in the Middle East. I left Lebanon during the Lebanese Civil War. I was part of the Christian militia on the ground growing up. I lived through the 9.5 years of the Lebanese Civil War, came to the States in 1984. Went to college, studied biomedical engineering with hopes of going to med school. I ended up sidetracking, going to the Air Force, and I started flying planes for the Air Force. Ended up in the first Gulf War, and everybody found out that I spoke both Arabic and French and a few other languages that I was learning along the way. And one thing led to another. I ended up going and working with the Air Force Special Operations Command, teaching, and spending my time downrange. And then I got picked up to be a defense attaché, ended up accredited to six West African countries as an Air Force attaché. I was flying King Air turboprop out there. And this is during the time when Ivory Coast, I was stationed based out of Ivory Coast, the country went through a coup. And then during that time period, I had to evacuate 1,700 Americans out. Spent a lot of time running around doing CTs right around 9/11. So that was another part of my portfolio. And the Pentagon, saw what I was doing. So I got a call from the Secretary of Defense's office asking if I would like to make my next assignment at the Pentagon, helping them with some of the CT issues. So one thing led to another. I ended up spending 6.5 years in the Pentagon working for two secretaries of defense on strategies and tactics across the continent and trying to develop that. And along the way, helped stand up the Africa Command, which is based out of Germany. So
tell us, I can't remember whether it was a professor or whether it was a recruiter. What is that story about somebody who said, yeah, you're not going to have any future in the Air Force or the military? What was that story again, Rudy?
Yeah, coming from Lebanon, English was my third language, so I was still learning to speak English. And, a lot of naysayers out there. One person said, there's no way this man's Air Force is going to take a person out of the backwoods of Lebanon and stick them in a U.S. Air Force jet. And I tuned them out and moved on with my career. And
as a director of counterterrorism operations for Africa. Not too shabby. We're talking to Rudy Atala, CEO of White Mountain Research, Air Force veteran and a personal friend of mine. So let's talk about, you mentioned that you were responsible for evac operations in the Côte d'Ivoire. We've been told by the Secretary of Defense that it is impossible. We can't get everybody out of Afghanistan. As part of your life's mission outside of the counterterrorism work, have been doing some amazing things for the beleaguered Christian community across the Middle East and also Central Asia. I just want to play one cut that's just come up from Kayleigh McEnany, my former colleague in the White House, who maybe has an explanation as to why this administration doesn't care about Americans, doesn't care about Afghans, doesn't care about people who fought with us. Play cuts.
That is a lie. Why is he so cold and callous and stubborn? I found the answer today, I think. It was reported by Richard Holbrooke. It was in Richard Holbrooke's diary. He was the special envoy to Afghanistan and to Pakistan in the Obama administration. The Atlantic reported a revelation from his diary about Joe Biden. This was back in 2010. According to Holbrooke's diary, when he was asked about, he asked about American obligations to Afghans like the girls in the Kabul school, Biden replied with a history lesson saying this, F that. We don't have to worry about that. We did it in Vietnam, Nixon, and Kissinger got away with it. This is from a credible person in the Obama administration. That was 2010, and now these cold, callous remarks we hear in 2021. It's unacceptable.
The late Richard Holbrooke saying that Biden back then said, F those people, we can just screw them over like we did in Vietnam. There's between 11 and 40,000 Americans stuck in Afghanistan, and we're being told by the retired four-star general who happens to be the Secretary of Defense that we don't have the capabilities to evacuate them, when at the same time, Rudy, we're hearing that the British, with a much smaller armed force, a much smaller army, is actually rescuing not only their own citizens, Rudy, they're rescuing the Irish citizens who are stuck there. So can you give us, I'm not talking about politics, can you give us some factual basis for what America can or cannot do?
Yeah, I mean, we can definitely evacuate all these people. The problem is a priority. Normally, when you do non-combatant evacuations or NEOs, I've done several of them, you delegate DOD and you give them the free license to set up and stage for the evacs. And we've got enough knowledge of Afghanistan, of dirt fields, runways, locations, threats, all that stuff is out there for us, and we can definitely leverage our capabilities and do it. The problem what we have with this current administration is, instead of giving DOD the priority to do the evacuation, they've turned that priority over to the State Department, which is not equipped at all to essentially run a NEO, and that's why we're having this discombobulated evacuation. It's backwards. So normally DOD would secure not only just one airfield. We could have used different airfields. Bagram, for example, could have been used. There's so many areas that could have been used, but right now we're only down to a single area, which is Kabul Airport. And I mean, just recently there was a firefight at one edge of the airport. 12 people were killed. So now we've restricted all flights going in until further notice from DOD. So DOD is only around the airport. There's nobody out in the cities getting people from the areas that they are in to the airport. And again, that's because the State Department's running things versus the Department of Defense.
And the idea that we did all of this in such a way that we couldn't secure the embassy and the Bagram airstrip at the same time, that's just fallacious. What we're hearing from the Pentagon, that we can't do that at the same time, is just absurd, is it not?
It's totally absurd. I mean, we've got the resources, we've got the capabilities, we've got the people, we've got all of the above. And I just don't understand why they've allowed it to get this bad. They had plenty of time to prepare for this, but they never did.
More with Rudy Atala after these messages. Coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that rid me of my lower back pain that had plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. Find out if it could work for you. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you, like all the people I've mentioned here, Leah, Reggie, and everybody else, and myself, and thousands of Americans. Don't wait any longer. You know it makes sense. 800-500-8384. Do it today. What else have you got to lose except the pain? 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
The massive quake flattening buildings across Haiti, triggering landslides that cut off access to some smaller communities. Families who lost their homes are now sleeping on nearby soccer fields. And now, Tropical Storm Grace is forecast to hit Haiti, bringing punishing rain that could lead to flash flooding and new mudslides. Yet another blow to a country in crisis.
Thank you to everybody who's made a donation to our Food for the Poor program, feeding children in our hemisphere who are going to bed starving tonight. Please make a difference. In the last few days, you've slowed down with your donations. We still have to help the children in Haiti. I know Afghanistan is on the front burner for us. If we can't do anything about that, that's up to our brave, brave troops on the ground to get Americans out of there. But we're talking about children who are starving, who've suffered an earthquake, a hurricane, and then, of course, the political instability that comes from having their president assassinated just a few weeks ago. Make a difference. Let's help the children. They have committed no sin that deserves the state they are in. Please be a modern missionary. Make a donation today at sebgorka.com and click on the Give Food banner. Any amount will save lives. $37 feeds a child for 6 months. $111 will feed 3 children for half a year. Imagine if you could spare $1,000, the dozens of children whose lives you could save. Please, please help the people and the children who deserve our assistance, because no child anywhere should suffer. Go to sebgorka.com, the Give Food banner, or call 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673. We're back with my friend, Colonel retired Rudy Atala, former director of counterterrorism operations in Africa, here on America First. I don't think I've ever heard the mainstream media talk about the Christian converts in Afghanistan. So talk to us about who these people are and why we've never heard about this from the legacy media.
Well, because a lot of people, I've worked with the underground churches in various parts of the Middle East. They see the atrocities that take place from radical groups like the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or ISIS. And they simply don't want any part of it. So they say, if this is part of the religion that we're associated with, we don't want any part of it. So many of them convert. And they convert in secret. They try to escape out of the countries, or they convert in countries. And they come to missionaries or people that I know. And they ask, like, well, tell us more about the Bible, about Jesus. And many of them end up giving their life to Christ. And when they do, oftentimes it's a fairly radical conversion. And then they stay in secrecy, and then they just maintain that secret that they're Christians, and they live with the persecution.
Talk to us about the situation in the Middle East, the flip side of the global war on terror that really isn't adequately discussed either. What has happened in Syria, in other parts of the Middle East like Iraq in the last 20 years since September the 11th?
At the turn of the 20th century, across the Middle East, we had approximately 20%+ Christians that were living in various pockets. Lebanon has right now per capita the largest Christian community, but you had them living in Iraq, you had them living in Syria, in Turkey and whatnot. Well, as we progress through the 20th century with the various wars and the uptick in some of these terror groups, Christians began to leave in larger numbers. Since the war in Syria, for example, in 2011 when it started, there were 3 million Christians living inside Syria. Today, we have less than 250,000. Take Iraq, for example. In Mosul, you have the tomb of Jonah, the prophet Jonah. You have tomb of the minor prophet Nahum. All Nineveh Plains is well known in the Bible. So these are all old Jewish and Christian lands, and Christians are being driven out left and right, not only by Sunni radicals, but also by Shia radicals. Why? Because Iran wants control. They want that Fertile Crescent to go an open door from modern-day Iran in through Iraq, Syria, all the way out to Lebanon. So in this divide, you've got a Sunni-Shia clashes, and in these clashes, not only are they fighting each other, but they're also pushing the Christians out. The Christians always take the brunt of everything. Iran, you know, at one point, you know, Iran was making so much inroads that, you know, obviously they bolstered Hezbollah and they carry out attacks into Israel. They also persecute Christians. During the Obama administration, Iran got very, very strong with all the JCPOA agreements and all the cash that we were dumping on Iran. Well, a lot of that money made its way to Hezbollah to prop them up and get them stronger. Under Trump, we began to diminish that capability with sanctions, and it started creating a lot of a rift within Hezbollah, which was good. But now we return to JCPOA. Now Hezbollah is strong again, and Christians continue to get persecuted because of it. What's happening in the case of Lebanon, money comes from Iran to Hezbollah, and then they use this money to go up to Christians who are now fighting to survive because of economic issues or whatever, and they get their offers to have their land purchased by Shia using Iranian money. So now Christians begin to lose more and more land because they're selling out of desperation to survive, to feed their kids and whatnot. And it continues to get worse. So Lebanon is bad. Syria is bad. Iraq is bad. Christians keep being pushed out. And then now you move to neighboring countries like Turkey, for example, under Erdogan. Christians are under constant persecution. About a year and a half ago, there was a monastery that was built in the 3rd century. It was Assyrian Christians. The Erdogan regime came up and said, well, your monastery was built on top of a mosque. You need to give up your monastery, and everybody needs to get kicked out. Well, guess, you know, when you look at it, you say, well, how is it possible? Islam didn't even exist yet. You know, the prophet died in 632 AD. This monastery existed well before, you know, Islam was even, you know, a name. And the Turkish government shrugs their shoulders and said, you need to leave. So we see persecution of Christians all across the Middle East. So I spend my time trying to rescue Christians that are caught in some of these bad areas, but also try to work with the churches out there to try to maintain a lot of the Christian villages. So, for example, we work, there's one village where ISIS had pushed out all the Christians out of a small village called Batnaya. We went back and tried to find the various families. We brought them back and repatriated them to their village. Now we have about 160 families back in the village. These are little tiny villages, but these are historical Christian. They've been there for forever, and that's the kind of work that we do.
God bless you, Rudy, and everybody who's part of your team for helping our brothers and sisters in Christ who are truly, this is a modern genocide, and it's happening without priests and pastors talking about it, which is perhaps one of the most shameful aspects of it. And of course, let me note here, the whole area you're discussing was Christian before it was Muslim. North Africa was a Christian territory. That's where the church grew the fastest after Jesus left us, and Islam came 600 years later. That's just a statement of fact. What can we do to help our Christian brothers and sisters? More with my friend Rudy Atala after this break. It might be a cliche when you say you are what you eat, but it is absolutely true. Eating the right food ensures your body gets the nutrients it needs to maintain your health. And that includes, whether you like it or not, guys, I'm sorry, fruits and vegetables. If you're not a big fan, and most of us guys aren't, you still need to eat them. Do what I do. Dr. Douglas Howard's Balance of Nature is a game changer. Just vegetables, just fruit, freeze-dried into six little capsules. Three red for fruit, three green for vegetables that provide you 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables your body needs and craves. Be the healthiest you can be. Dr. Howard's going to give you 35% off and free shipping on your first preferred order if you use my name. If you're worried about your health, just do this for your wife, for your mother, for your children, for your grandchildren. 800-246-8751, balanceofnature.com, promo code Gorka.
Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
More on the plight of our Christian brothers and sisters in the Middle East with my good friend, Colonel retired Rudy Atala. You've shared with us the incredible projects you're doing across the globe to help Christians. How can our millions of listeners, if they want to help, how can they help you and the projects to save those Christian communities?
Well, I have a nonprofit organization called The Blessing Projects with an S.org, theblessingprojects.org. If they want to donate or support, that's a good way to do it. We use every penny, and I try to stay very diligent on this, where our overhead is less than 2.5%. So we spend everything we push out the door just to get as many rescues and help as many people. In many cases, we also try to help the Christians stand on their 2 feet. For example, in Lebanon, I've been slowly, you know, purchasing areas, land where we can have agricultural projects going so we can feed people. That way they don't have to go to the market. In the case of Lebanon, Hezbollah controls a lot of the market value of a carton of eggs, you know, or meat or milk or whatever. Even now, gasoline is a problem. So people are struggling to survive. They can't afford it, especially with the devaluation of the Lebanese pound against the dollar. So 50% of the population is living under the poverty line. Well, instead of constantly purchasing food, I prefer to grow the food and feed them. So right now I'm feeding 70 families, but I'm looking for a way to feed several thousand families. And keep them sustained. That way they can stand on their 2 feet, because the last thing we want is an exodus of Christians, a bigger exodus of Christians out of the Middle East, because what will be left is, you know, this little tiny country we call Israel, and Israel's already under a lot of pressure. And then as you push the Christians out, then what happens is the vacuum is filled up with a lot of these radical individuals and rogue states that want control, like Iran. And Israel continues to become a bigger target, where eventually they will start doing worse things. I mean, right now, Iran, working with Hezbollah, spent over $13 million on a whole bunch of tunnels that go from southern Lebanon into Israel.
The website is theblessingprojects.org. Please, if you can support our Christian brothers and sisters who are just trying to survive, go to theblessingprojects.org. Rudy, it's a tough question, and of course it's hard to generalize, but from the people you've met, the families you're helping and you're trying to feed, do the Christian communities want to escape to safety, or do they want to stay in their ancestral homelands? What's the overall sentiment of the Christians who've lived there sometimes for 2,000 years?
99% of the people that I speak to, at least, are all want to stay. They don't want to leave because they don't want to go to a foreign country and start a new language and everything. I rescued an older couple. The husband was 87 years old. The wife is 84 years old. And I was asking them, I said, you know, we're gonna move you to Australia. They had nothing. I pulled them out of a really dangerous place in Hasaka, Syria. And I said, how do you feel about that? You know, and the husband looked at me and with tears in his eyes, he looked at me and he said, do I have a choice? If I had a choice, I would prefer to die where I was born. This is where I raised my family. Why do I want to go to another foreign country and at my age try to learn a new language? That's very difficult for me. He said, I would give anything to stay here. But I also am very grateful that I can live another day to see my grandkids, survive and live. So many of them want to stay, and the churches, oftentimes the leaders of the churches beg, they say, please, please, please don't take any more Christians out of the Middle East. Don't move them to other countries. We cannot afford to lose more people. And, you know, I said, okay, fine, you know, find me a place where I can bring them and keep them safe, because it's not easy when you're in the middle of this big geopolitical fight. I mean, right now, you know, Syria, I'll use Syria as an example. It's a testing ground for the Russians to try out their new weapons, to try out all this stuff. There's a lot of electronic warfare going on between the United States and the Russians on the eastern side of Syria. You've got the Turks in there. You've got, you know, think of every, you know, alphabet soup of radical group, you know, Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, Hizb al-Shabi, Nusra. I mean, I can go on and on. And the Christians are in the middle of all of this. You know, and they get persecuted. So we only hear about the Yazidis and the Kurds, but we never hear about the Christians.
Yeah,
they just suffer in silence all the time.
Dear friends, there must be something about people with the first name Rudy. The Rudys I know are great Americans. Please support Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor. He is a truth teller. He's a patriot. They're trying to destroy him, strip him of his law license. Please go to RudyGiulianiFreedomFund.com. They want to bankrupt him, support him so he can keep fighting for us and fighting for the truth of what happened last November. That's RudyGiulianiFreedomFund.com.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
He's helping save Christians across the globe. We are returning right now to my buddy, Colonel Rudy Atala. Rudy, there's a bigger question here. We're talking about the plight of the Christians. We're talking about the global war on terror, the global jihadi movement that you've been fighting in Africa since September the 11th. And it boils down, really, especially if you look to the events in Kabul and the very strange pronouncements coming out of the White House, it comes down to a question of will. Let me illustrate it thusly and give you a chance to respond. I think, and it has little to do with the fact that I was involved with it, but I do think one of the most important speeches by a Western statesman since the end of the Cold War was the speech that my former boss Donald Trump gave in Warsaw. And there was a clear question, a challenge in that speech. And I just want to play a short clip to you. This is President Trump, one of his early speeches in Warsaw.
Today, the ties that unite our civilization are no less vital and demand no less defense than that bare shred of land on which the hope of Poland once totally rested. Our freedom, our civilization, and our survival depend on these bonds of history, culture, and memory. And today as ever, Poland is in our heart, and its people are in that fight. Just as Poland could not be broken, I declare today for the world to hear that the West will never, ever be broken. Our values will prevail. Our people will thrive. And our civilization will triumph.
So, Rudy, the president gave that speech. The Polish government wanted him to give it downtown in some fancy palace or governmental building. We said no. We want him to give that speech out at the site of the Warsaw Uprising, where there's a beautiful statue of the freedom fighters who literally came out of the sewers, out of the hiding places, to fight the fascists that had occupied and tried to destroy Poland. And we got it. The Polish government allowed us to take the president there to give the speech next to the statue. And in that speech, there's a dark moment where he says, the only question now is, do we, the members of Western Christian civilization, have the will to defeat those who wish to destroy our civilization? It was fascists, it was Nazis, it was then communists, now it's jihadis. I see your work trying to save Christians across the Middle East and elsewhere as part of answering that question. Would you give us just your response to the president's question from Warsaw?
Well, God bless him, first of all, for making the speech. I mean, I just love that. Here's my take. Unfortunately, today, a lot of Christians are Christians, and I put it in quotes, they are not practicing Christians. They don't understand Christianity. They don't understand the message of Christ, and therefore, they're simply Christians on paper, but they're not really strong believers. We have that in almost every faith. In Islam, you see that. In Judaism, you see that, and so on and so forth. These are people that are more worldly. And the West can stand up, but the West has lost its course. If you don't know where you come from, how could you know where you need to go? Essentially, Christians don't know where they originally came from. That's why I push so hard to kind of elevate the true Christians that are the Christians that currently reside in the Middle East, at least the ones that have been standing with the faith and being persecuted for their faith, to show what true Christianity truly is and say, look, you know, as Christians, as believers in Christ, we need to understand exactly what the Word of God says, what we need to stand for. For example, I use this all the time from Proverbs 24, that if somebody is jailed or getting going to be put to death, we have a duty to go out there and rescue them. We have a duty to go out there and save them. We have to stand with our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted. But when I talk to, say, Westerners, whether they're from Europe or from here, from our country, oftentimes they kind of look at me and say, well, it's not happening in my backyard. So I understand, yes, my heart goes to them, but there's not much I can do. I'm like, well, you know, that's a cop out, because your duty is to stand by those that are being persecuted. Now, when you have these radical groups that are raising a sword there, I mean, we saw how quickly we forget what ISIS was doing in 2014, 2015 on TV. Decapitating people, lopping off hands, throwing people on their heads from the top of buildings, crucifying them on crosses, you know, and we're going to see this again, unfortunately, with what's going on in Afghanistan. You know, this persecution happens to Christians. We go, oh my God, how in the world did this happen? We need to do something. I'm like, yeah, you should have been doing something about it long time ago, not waiting to the last second for it to happen. I think the resolve, see, when we're all united together under a true same faith, then we all will stand together and all we can all resist together, and we can also make a difference together. Unfortunately, we're very divided, especially when it comes down to the faith itself. Yeah. I mean, the churches are teaching lukewarm messages. They're not really teaching the gospel anymore. Our kids are being indoctrinated through Hollywood, through all the garbage that you see on social media. They believe that social media is pumping out proper information, which it's not. Most of it is anti-Christian. Most of it is anti-Western value. Most of it is demonic at its roots. And people are afraid to talk about it. People are afraid to say something about it. And this is where we need to kind of come back and really educate our kids on true Christian values and be united as people of the faith and really step up to the plate and do the right thing.
Well, thank you so much for doing what you do. It's theblessingprojects.org, theblessingprojects.org, trying to help our beleaguered Christian brothers and sisters across the planet. We're talking to Colonel Rudy Atala, former U.S. Air Force, retired former director of counterterrorism operations for the continent of Africa. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the WLTN studios in the Northern Kingdom. But wherever I am, it is, of course, a relieffactor.com studio.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
Back with Rudy Atala. In the last few moments we have with you, would you explain, as a former practitioner in uniform who was hunting down these individuals, providing intelligence to our special operators to neutralize them, how significant is the fall of Kabul? And how will the Taliban, who gave succor and aid not only to Al-Qaeda but to ISIS, how will they profit globally from being able to project this message that they defeated the president of the United States?
Okay, to put it in perspective, you know, Ayman Zawahiri, who is currently very ill, he's the leader of Al-Qaeda, swore a blood oath to the emir of the Taliban, basically, and never broke it. The emir of the Taliban's deputy, Haqqani, is a card-carrying member of Al-Qaeda. As we're evacuating or trying to evacuate people out of Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda members are returning to Afghanistan in large numbers. Afghanistan has always been a playground for over 20 terrorist groups, and now that the Taliban have control, they are going to come back in fairly large numbers. And the problem is we've done this major pullout, and we don't have any more real friends in the region. Iran is touting the fact that America will abandon you. Every terrorist group like Hamas, ISIS, they're all saying the same thing. Hey, look, America will abandon you. Come join our causes. Come join our who we are. So I would basically say that what's currently happening, unfolding in Afghanistan, is this massive recruiting campaign for these radical groups. So expect to see Al-Qaeda 3.0 surge. Expect to see a whole bunch of other radical groups surge. Hamas just congratulated the leaders of the Taliban for their victory against the United States, saying, you know, you have done something wonderful for the Islamic Kingdom, and now we're all going to follow in your footsteps. So we're going to see this major uptick. And basically, what we've done is we've turned our world into a much more difficult and less safe place. And this administration is going to, you know, reap what it sowed for a long, long time to come, unfortunately. But, you know, we went into Afghanistan for counterterrorism reasons, and we should have stayed, at least maintained a small presence for counterterrorism reasons. So I'm very concerned about the future. And I just simply say that it has emboldened terrorist groups across the entire Middle East right now. We're seeing it not only on the Sunni side, but on the Shia side as well.
It's a very simple form of arithmetic. When America is strong and bold, the world is a safer place. When it is weak and feckless, the world is a very dangerous place. He's helping our brothers and sisters across the world, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Please check out theblessingprojects.org, theblessingprojects.org. God bless you, Rudy, for doing what you do.
God bless you.
I'm Sebastian Gorka. You've been listening to America First One-on-One. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.